Welcome to Glassbreakers Cafe, the podcast where we meet with impactful leaders to get their wisdom and insight on the future, leadership, and career development. Our goal is to inspire you and empower you to live an unlimited and smart future by breaking free from limiting beliefs, firefightings, and the invisible walls of our society. I'm your host, Cindy Mongeni, future of work expert, diversity accelerator, executive coach, and international speaker. Welcome to Glassbreakers Cafe, a space to meet with impactful leaders and get their insights on the future, inclusive leadership, and career development. Our special guest today is Carla Fraguada, Senior Director, Global Finance Programs in Bacardi. Welcome, Carla.
Hi, Cindy. Thank you for having me.
And Carla, so let's start. If you could share a bit what about your role and your responsibility currently as a Senior Director in Global Finance.
So, of course, I returned to Bacardi after a year and a half being in the government of Puerto Rico for zero-based budgeting. So it was a year and 2 months ago that I returned. So it was actually heaven sent of a project, right? With the year that we have on the pandemic, it was the right thing to do. And we didn't know it at the time, but it turned out to be great. It provided a little bit of hope, right? For this year. And we identify a lot of spend that wasn't efficient or we could do better at, right? So that was the whole project. Right now we've identified what we want to save, but what we're doing is making sure that we embed new ways of working, new ways of looking at our spend in a more efficient and manageable way across the entire organization. So that's what I've been doing for the last year and a half from my house. I came back to Bacardi 2 days before lockdown, so I haven't seen anyone that I have worked with in the last year in person. So That's what I've been doing.
Yes, for everybody who started a job last I met like different people, they changed company and they have not seen anyone. They don't know the office because like really 2020 was like the year where like everything happened totally outside of our normal way of doing things. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you came back to Bacardi because you were working before Bacardi, but you had this time where you were working in government in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty interesting because even without having any experience in politics myself, but we could all figure out that governments and the corporate world are super different. So with already a kind of rich career in corporate, why did you choose to explore the way of politics? Mm-hmm. And what did you learn because you came back to corporate?
Yes, my inspiration for trying out government, not necessarily politics, and I try to keep it separate, right, was Hiroki Maria. Mm-hmm. I think Hiroki Maria affected not only Puerto Ricans on the island, but Puerto Ricans that were not on the island, and that it completely changed my perspective of what was going on here. So right after the hurricane, my husband and I spent a month volunteering on the island, medical, logistics, anything we could do to help the situation here. And that really stayed with me in a sense that at some point I wanted to come and help. And the right opportunity presented itself to lead the recovery office. Wow. Together with FEMA. And it was an old friend from high school that got my resume. I said, you'll be perfect for this position. Why don't you join us now? I think it's the right time. I was very clear that I didn't like the politics part of it, especially here in Puerto Rico. And I think I had a really good protection from him in that sense. So I was able to do what I wanted to do, which is get stuff done without having to look at, you know, at all the political pieces. You have to, but that wasn't my my motivation or my passion. It was really trying to get the people of Puerto Rico the recovery projects that would take us forward after this situation.
Yeah, and it's amazing, like a situation like this as huge as Maria can really have like a life-changing impact on the people around. Good. Mm-hmm. So I get a better understanding of why did you venture into government. And I know that you are super passionate about closing the gender gap. We met through this common passion. Mm-hmm. And with, even if it was like a short experience, but you have now an experience in government, when you look at how women are perceived in government versus how women are perceived in the corporate world, the challenge and opportunities for women in government versus women in the corporate world, do you see similarities? Do you see differences? How do you compare both life as a woman in government versus in corporate America?
So I think the disparity in the amount of males at the upper positions is the same for government and corporate. I think we're working through that and it's changing, but it's slow. I think as slow. So I didn't see a difference there and like having, you know, more males at the top of the organization and then more females getting stuff done, as I say. And I had an interesting experience with that topic, Cindy, because I had the opportunity at some point to be, I was deputy director, right? But I had the opportunity at one point of maybe being director, and I didn't want to do it because it meant putting myself in media scrutiny, in really getting into the politics, and then my time would have been divided, not even like a big percentage of my time would have been dealing with that scrutiny, with the media, with the politics of it all. And I felt a lot more comfortable staying with my values of like, let's get stuff done and really getting into the operations part of it. So I don't know, on that question, it makes me wonder if that's the experience for some women, maybe in government, because the scrutiny is really hard. And some of us, some women are mothers, they have family. And if you're really passionate about getting stuff done, sometimes getting to that spotlight is not, and some women like it and do great at it. I just thought I would be more valuable and stay with my values while doing the actual work. But the difference, I didn't see a difference, right? In the division of female and men. We're still not highly represented at the top, so.
Yeah, but I agree, like, again, I've never had any experience in government or politics, but from outside, it seems that there is still much more to do for women in government and politics than in corporate world, mm-hmm. especially with the scrutiny, like sometimes you are not so much judged by what you do, which were your focus, mm-hmm. but more how you look, And those type of things, no? That seems like really like old fashioned, but it seems like it's still part of the dynamic. Mm-hmm. But besides exploring politics, you've also explored something that is not usual yet for women. This is the field of angel investing. Mm-hmm. Investing. So there are few women doing this. So my question is, why? How did you jump into being an angel investor? And why do you think there are still few women being angel investor?
This was interesting. There was a point in my career where I wasn't fulfilled and I didn't know what my next move should be. So I started getting into entrepreneurship. I'm like, maybe it's my time. So I read the books. I read what I needed to do. I looked into everything, but I never came up with an idea that I wanted to take the plunge myself and do. And a good friend mentioned, she said, why don't you, if you don't have an idea right now, when you look at ideas that entrepreneurs have, but need the capital or need the money to do that, and then you can help good ideas that you feel, you know, resonate with you. And I thought it was a great thing. And within a month, I was already in angel investing training and looking into that. And it was really fun. I did it to your second part of the question. I did it with a group of female angel investors. getting trained and then looking at companies that were female founded or led by female. It was great. I think the reason not a lot of us do it is, again, I'm very risk averse. So this was a big plunge for me. And because of the gender disparity in salary and in how much we make versus men and so on, I think that's the other reason. You have to be a accredited investor to do angel investing or any investing. Okay. And there's more men. There's definitely more men. So if we're able through angel investing to develop more women to get to be an accredited investor, it's like a cycle. And I think with a group that I did, it had a really good vision on that. But I think it's that. It's, for me, it was a risk. It was hard to do. You don't find a lot of female, as many, not a lot, but as many female accredited investors as you would men. And I think programs like the one I participated on are trying to change that.
Awesome. And you mentioned like you were risk averse, and definitely when you're an angel investor, you're starting like at the beginning, and generally there is like even not like a strong market research or proof of that the product or service would work. So without entering in detail of money, but for what you invested, did you get a good result? Did you lose money? How was like the experience of doing it and being along the side of founders?
So angel investing is tricky. A rule of thumb is that out of 10 investments that you do, one would yield some return. So it's definitely risky. So you don't usually invest a lot of money with angel investing. And my experience right now, the company did not do very well on the one that I did with this group, but it was a really good experience of getting involved with this company. How could I help? How could I be a sounding board and not only use my investment in money resources, but corporate experience and just being part of companies, right? And supporting them in any way I can. And I think that was very rewarding. I don't think I'm going to make much money of that investment particularly. But it was good and definitely learning experience and how you do things in the future and what do you look for in a company and so on. So my door is not closed to angel investing. But that was the most rewarding piece, helping these people build their company in any way that I could. Sometimes they didn't need my help. Sometimes they had questions. So I was just there.
Awesome. Great. And when you mentioned your introduction in the first question, you mentioned you came back for like the zero-based budget. And at this moment, Bacardi is looking at how they do business, the spending. And this is something like most of the company are doing. They have like this whole digital transformation strategy, like rethinking the processes, the way we do business model. And you being part of a key initiative, the digital transformation is not just about the company. It's also about like each of us as professional in the marketplace, because everything is going so fast. So how do you ensure that as an executive, you remain someone who is highly relevant in the marketplace?
And very important. And that's learning. I think the best leaders are never satiated with learning and are always looking for the right network and building that network, getting to know people and continue to learn. I think that's how you stay relevant. In my career, I've never been afraid of jumping into something that I don't know about, that I'm new to. And a good example is disaster recovery when I came back to Puerto Rico, right? And I think that's another way I do that. I don't shy away from, zero-based budgeting. I've never done that. I've been in finance before, but never done that globally and in front of a computer for a year. So it's that leap of faith of you know what? I don't have the expertise in this area, but I have other skills that are going to help me be successful. So I think that's how that's how I move into the next, into the transformation that's happening in the world, digital and otherwise. To your point, it's, there's a lot of people transformation as well.
Yes. And as you mentioned, no, when we look at your career, this moment, corporate, politics, angel investing, and jumping into zero base as something new, we can see like you're someone who takes risks, even if you say, look, you risk hours, and you jump into like, even if you don't have all the knowledge. So what is your motto in life? What drives you?
So sometimes it could sound cliche, but it's usually you are where you're supposed to be. I found myself in some situations where I'm like, did I make the right choice? And you know what? You'll find some learning here. You'll find why you are in this position. And that's the thing with making a decision. It's either A or B. And once you go one route, like it's like a vortex. You go in there, right? And sometimes it makes you wonder, like, did I choose right? But you know what? That's what you should have chosen. That's why you're there. So I think I do that a lot when I'm in like sticky situations or even good situations. Like, you see, this is where you're supposed to be. So I think I would say that's mine.
This is where you're supposed to be. Great. Mm-hmm. So we're coming to an end in our time together, Carla, today. But generally for the last question, I like to ask something that is more like a dream or something that totally from the imagination world. So for you today, I would like to ask you, if you would have the opportunity to have lunch with three famous persons who are alive, which person would you pick and why?
So the first one would be Michelle Obama. I think I'm in a long line for that one. but I actually know a few people that have met her in the past and even worked with her when she started. And it just seems she's been through a journey. And I'm not necessarily the politics aspect of it, but when you're yourself on a journey and you see people that, you know, have gone through that to a journey themselves, it's just, it would be interesting to get her perspective on that for sure. The second one I would say is Papa Francisco. I'll say it in Spanish because that's how I know him. I've been on a Jesuit loving streak recently, and I mean, he's the ultimate Jesuit right now, and it would be great to talk to him. I keep learning things about him that I didn't know he'd done or participated in, and it would be interesting to also, I could use some of his piece, so that's always good. And the third one, I would say right now, I've been exploring vulnerability a lot, and I like to listen to Brené Brown. I read a lot of her quotes and some of that. So I would love to have a philosophical conversation with her. I think it's one of those topics that I never thought about until I heard it. And I'm like, well, this makes a lot of sense. Maybe it could be explored. So
good. So this is going to be a quite of interesting topic. So Carla, Michelle Obama, Brené Brown, and Papa Francisco, because in I don't know in English neither.
Papa Francis, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Hi. And so great. So let's see. So when I will publish the podcast, I don't see. I think like the Pope has a Twitter and social media, but I don't see. I don't. So we will tag the Pope, Michelle, and Brené, and let's see if one of them reply to us.
That would be awesome. When you mentioned dream, though, I immediately thought, like, I want to go to New Zealand. Let me go to New Zealand. So I haven't traveled this year as I usually do. So when you said dream initially, I'm like, my dream is to go to New Zealand because I can't travel.
So part of some. So once the border reopens, hopefully you would be able like, to fulfill this
dream.
So on this note of like dreaming, traveling, and meeting interesting people, who are going to end our time together. Carla, and once again, thanks a lot for your insights into the government world, angel investing, careers, staying like relevant. So there was like really a lot of great nuggets that you've been sharing with us. So thank you very much.
No, thank you so much for having me, Cindy. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you. And to our audience, see you next week for another encounter at Glassbreakers Cafe. If you enjoyed today's episode of Glassbreakers Cafe, please subscribe and share with your friends on social media. Also, be sure to follow me, your host, Cindy Mangene, on LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If there is any special guest or special topic you would like us to address, please drop me a note at cindy@newskiesnation.com. Thanks a lot for joining us today. And remember, no one can predict the future, but we still need to prepare for it. See you next week.